If you'd like to follow along, please turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. One more time here. I'm just going to read the first two verses again. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. I said it last week. We preach and we teach and we speak and we talk to people and to each other the truth of God. And it is totally to be based upon the scriptures and nothing else, nothing else. What the scripture actually reads, not our interpretation. Not, this is the tricky one for a lot of people, not our own ideas. You understand? I don't know how many of you have gotten this. I know I've gotten it in the past. I figure you guys have too. Let me tell you what I think. And you can't really look at them, Walter, and say, I don't care what you think. Maybe I could say it nicely, but that's sort of what it comes down. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what I think. It just matters what the book says. The scripture is not our final authority. It's our only authority. Which leads to verse 2 here. In Deuteronomy, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it. And that leads to hermeneutical eisegesis. Y'all knew I was going to say that, didn't you? I can't help it. I like that term. That basically means this. You interpret scripture according to your own idea. According to your, well, let's use the word, imagination. You're more worried about trying to prove what you think from the scriptures than what the scriptures actually say. Now, and you go looking for proof about what you think. The Word of God warns us clearly against this in verse 2 here in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Actually, verse 1 and 2. Last week I spoke about hearken and do the Word of God. Now in verse 2 we're given this admonition. About to choke. Excuse me. This command. You understand, a lot of people don't like being told what to do. But God has every right to tell us what to do. Why? Because he is right. Totally and completely. And this is a command. Verse 2. Don't add to or take away from my word. From the Word of God. The Word of God which is given of God. That's hermeneutical eisegesis. To take away or to add in anything to the Word of God. Now I told that here before. We have a nice word for hermeneutical eisegesis. We actually just call it lying. Because that's what it is. That's what it is. Men do. That's what men do. They lie about God and they rest the scriptures. We're told about that. What? To. They rest the scriptures to their own destruction. But God said, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you. What's that mean? Well, that means that adding to the word of God, which he's given, is a sin. See, you know, I understand. A lot of people want to talk about their opinions. And I understand that. Because everybody's got an opinion. Everybody has their own thoughts. God says, you listen to what I said. And don't add anything to it. Don't add anything to it. It doesn't matter what you add, and it doesn't matter how you add it. Because there are many, many ways to do it. And it also says, ye shall diminish aught from the word. Don't take anything away. Don't diminish from, don't leave out a word God has spoken. Don't leave out a word that is written in here. Taking anything away from the word of God is exactly the same as adding to it. It's a sin. It's a sin. And there too also, it doesn't matter what you diminish from his word or how you diminish something from his word. Now I'm going to give you one example here. But before I do that, I'm going to tell you this. Why should we not add or diminish from the scriptures? Well, first of all, God said not to. God said not to. That should be enough. It's not for men. It's not for us human beings, but that should be enough. And the second thing I want to tell you is something I've told you before, something I have to tell myself every now and then, like every day. God doesn't need our help, folks. He doesn't need our help. He doesn't need our feet or our hands. Paul preached on that a while back. You don't need your feet, your hands, and he doesn't need our words. We need his words is what we need. And he's given us his word. But I want to use one example. If you want to turn to 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. Second Peter 3 and verse 9. This is a wonderful verse. And I'm going to tell you something. This is a verse that very commonly many people, and I'm talking many theologians and people who consider themselves scholars and preachers, have taken away from this verse right here. I've read it several times. The verse reads this way. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, what they leave out of that verse is those two words right there in the middle where it says to usward. They will say, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. And they'll put four little dots there, or three little dots. Not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. And I'm telling you, this is a verse that men love to take those two little words out of. Because you know what it does? It changes the entire complexion of this verse. It diminishes it. Is what it does. Now, those four little dots, three little dots, you can use three or four, according to the dictionary. They're called an ellipsis. That's what it's called. I forget why I remember that, but I do. Now, what an ellipsis is? Well, an ellipsis is, by definition, the omission from speech. Now, I don't know how you put dot, dot, dot in your speech, but the omission from speech or writing of a word or words that are superfluous. You know the thing I love about the dictionary is when you look up the definition of something, you got to look up something for the definition. Superfluous means unnecessary. Oh, or more words than are needed. Now listen, folks, I'm going to have another favorite word here. Superfluous is what? The word of God is never superfluous. There's not one extra word. There's not one little word missing from what the word of God says. Now, there's a whole lot missing from us. There's a whole lot we want to put in, and there's a lot more even than that that we want to take out. But to say that this scripture, those two words, I mean, you're not saving a lot of space if you're typing it out. And nowadays with computers, I copy and paste. I don't type anything out if I don't have to. I just take that verse out of my Bible program, I copy it, and I put it right in my Word program. And there it is. It's right here. Underneath to the left, to the right, all this blue scribble. That didn't take me nothing at all. But they want to put them two dots in there, three dots in there, four dots in there, anything except for those two words.
Right.
Now, they leave them out. And I read where somebody just said it blatantly. The reason they leave that out, because when you read that to us word, that means to us humans. That's what it means. So you don't need it. And I thought, what are you talking about? Who is this letter addressed to? Who is Peter constantly referring to as us in this letter? To them that have obtained like precious faith with us. Us humans, I guess. Us. Through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the two us word right there that they're leaving out. But here's the thing. If they leave those words out there and say that this verse means, and that's what most everybody says. You understand? God's not willing that any should perish. They'll leave out the whole first part of the verse that way. Okay? I'm here to tell you, folks, and I'm going to show you here in just a minute from Scripture, but I will tell you this. If God's not willing that any human should perish, no human is going to perish. Because our salvation is based upon His will. And His work, and His way, and He does it. And if you think that God's not long-suffering to us, word that any should perish, and that means all humans, what's it say here? In verse 14 and 15 of the same chapter, chapter 3, written by the same man Peter, where it says, "Wherefore, beloved," verse 14, "seeing that ye look for such things, be diligently that ye may be found of Him, in peace, without spot, and blameless, and account that what? The long-suffering of our Lord, what? Is salvation."
Amen.
And you know what? That's the same word as in verse 9. Now, in verse 9, it's a verb, and in verse 15, it's a noun, but it's the same word. "Even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you." Paul wrote the same thing I'm writing here.
Yeah.
The long-suffering of the Lord is salvation.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, I got to write this, read this. "As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which there are some things hard to be understood." Understood by who? By us humans. By us believers.
By us believers.
By us believers. Oh. Wow. But here's the thing. "Which they that are unlearned and unstable."
Yeah.
Ooh. What do? The unlearned and the unstable rest. Wrestle. Grapple with.
Yeah.
"As they do also the other scriptures." This ain't the only one. It's not the only one by any stretch of the imagination. "But they wrestle them, they rest them as they do the other scriptures unto their own destruction." That's what comes of taking away and adding to the Word of God. Because the scripture plainly tells us that those who actually receive Him, receive Jesus Christ, are born of the will of God. He's not willing that any of those shall perish.
Right.
And guess what? None of those which he has chosen before the foundation of the world, none of those which receive him because they are born of God, none of those that are born from above will ever perish. They never will. Why? Because of the long suffering of God. Not because of us, not because of what I do, not because of what I want, but because of him. This is how corrupt and defiled and depraved we are. When someone adds to a scripture, somewhere else, the word is diminished. And when somebody diminishes the scripture, somewhere else, they're adding something in. That's why I put them both in the same verse in Deuteronomy. Oh, my. Men add one thing, and here's the thing that we run into. Men add one thing so they can diminish the word. And men diminish one thing so they can add it somewhere else. That's what I call lying, Walter.
Yeah.
Lying is a sin in whatever form it takes. Bearing false witness and adding to and taking away from the scripture.
Yeah.
So what did our Lord Jesus Christ tell us about lying and lies? Well, it's in John chapter 8 and verse 44. John chapter 8 and verse 44. Oh, there. Now, this is Jesus Christ talking to some people in his day with his own lips. Ye are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. Now he's talking to religious people here, folks. He's talking to Pharisees, the best a religion could promote. They walk the walk and they talk the talk, but not before God. And that's what Christ is telling them here. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode where? Not in the truth. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. Why? For he's a liar. He's a liar. The devil is a liar. And the father of it. And the father of it. The devil is Satan. And Satan is a liar. And the father of the lie. You know the first lie we have recorded in scriptures in Genesis 3. It was in the garden. The serpent was more subtle than any other beast. What's that mean? You didn't know what he was doing. You didn't know what he was doing. He knew what he was doing. But that's what subtlety means. That means you're trying to slip something in. And how's he slip something in? The first thing he told Eve was, yea, hath God not said.
Yeah.
Oh my. Yea, hath God said, eat of every tree in the garden. And he stopped. Guess what? That's diminishing what God said in chapter 2. He left out the last part. Now Eve added it in. Oh, he told us to eat of any tree in the garden, except this tree over here. Don't touch it either. He'll die. Then what did he say? Well, first he left that word out and that phrase out, except the one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat from that. He left that part out. And then the second thing he did was he added a word in. Ye shall not die. Ye shall not surely die. Added one little word. Took out one word in a phrase and then added one word in. That's the way it works. Trust me. Somebody that's going to add to the scripture is going to diminish from the scripture. And somebody that diminishes from the scripture is going to add to the scripture. That's the way it works. The word and phrase left out was a deception of Satan. Eve was deceived. One word or one phrase omitted can change the truth of God into a lie.
Right.
Think that's not important? One word added. Ye shall not surely die. One word added can change the truth of God into a lie. And that's where it all started, folks. As far as we know. Now, I'm willing to bet that's not the first lie Satan ever told. Because he got himself kicked out of heaven for lying to God. He said, I'm going to be like the Most High. You know what that is? Yes, it's pride. Yes, it's arrogance. But yes, it's a lie. Because there's no way in this world or any other of the whole universe that Satan's going to overthrow God. But he thought he could. He wanted to. Oh, but here it is. One word added, one word taken away. And what happens when men believe the lie? What happens when men and women are deceived by a lie? And what happens to men or women who change the truth of God into a lie? What did Jesus Christ say after speaking of the liar and the father of lies? Verse 45 of John chapter 8. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. When the truth comes, man won't have it. When the truth is spoken, man won't have it. From the lips of God himself manifest in the flesh. Psalm 56 and verse 5 puts it this way. Every day. Here's what, every day. What happens every day? Every day, they rest my words. Why? Why in the world would somebody rest the words of God? Wrestle with the word of God. Twist them. Bend them. Add to them. Take away from them. All their thoughts are against me for evil. Every day. Every day. Every day. Like I read before, Peter states they wrest the scriptures to their own destruction. Romans 1 tells us, Romans 1 and verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Perception and reality are hardly ever the same thing. Not where man is concerned. Now, where God is concerned, perception and reality are the same thing. But as far as man is concerned, no. Professing themselves, saying, declaring themselves to be wise, they became fools. How? And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. You thought I was altogether such a one as yourselves. And they do. I did. I didn't understand God. Ugh. Changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made to like corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. What? Who changed the truth of God into a lie? And worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. The reason people add to the Word of God or try to take away from the Word of God is they love themselves more than they love God. They love the creature more than the Creator. What's it lead to? Corruption and rebellion. Corruption and rebellion. Now I'm going to tell you, it's important to know the truth. It's important to know the truth of God. Firstly, it's just common sense, because it's almost impossible to recognize a lie if you don't know what the truth is. And firstly, also, we are told to try the spirits, whether they be of God. Why? Because many liars have gone out into the world. I'm sorry. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Many false preachers have gone out into the world, and they're still with us. They haven't gone anywhere. They haven't gone anywhere. Because a false prophet is a liar. And to try the false, you kind of got to know the true. They tell you this. You got to lay a straight stick down next to a crooked stick, and that way you can see really which one's crooked. But if you can't recognize a straight stick, where are you at? It is important to know what you are talking about, to know what is the truth. But I have to tell you this, that in order to know the what, you have to know the who. I mean, I've been talking about the Word of God. People don't understand, when I'm talking about the Word of God, I'm talking about Jesus Christ. He is the Word of God. Yes, this is the Word of God here. But this is a book about Him. It's a book about a person. It's Him. You can't know what is the truth without knowing who is the truth. And I can tell you this, from personal experience, the who will change what you know. I'm going to tell you something. Yeah. There was stuff I had to unlearn. And yet I still find it ingrained in me a little bit. But I had to unlearn it. Why? Because I was wrong. I was wrong about my thoughts of God, of Jesus Christ. And I was wrong about thoughts of His Word. Didn't understand it, didn't like it, didn't want it. And now, I want it, I like it. What happened? I met Him. I met Him. The who's going to change your what? The what's not going to change your who. That's you know, you understand, there's a lot of people, the what, the doctrine, changes their conception of God. No, it better not. It better never. You understand, that's what got me so hard and so fast in John 6. When I read that about except to be given unto you of my Father, no man can come unto me. No one's going to come unto me unless it's be given of him of my Father. Or unless my Father which has sent me draws him. That scared the bejeebers out of me. That worried me. And I finally come to the fact, some very smart people told me, what did he say? What does the book say? And that's exactly what he says. And I came to it, I said, and I remember sitting here looking at it, and I read it, and I read it again, and read it, and it never changed, Walter. Every time I read it, it said the same thing. And I thought to myself, well, you said it, Lord. That's it. I don't get it. I never heard it before. I didn't understand it. But he said it. And I believe. I believed him. And because I believed him, I believe what? There's lots of people out there, they don't believe him. And guess what? They don't believe what either. They want to change what? They'll heap to themselves teachers. What? Having itching ears. You say, what I want to hear, don't say what this says. Oh, the who will change your what? This is what Pilate didn't understand. Because there is no understanding of the truth without knowing Jesus Christ. I've read it, quoted it, and I'll do it again because I like it. I'm going to tell you I like it. Let's see. John chapter 18 and verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. And that's what Pilate says. Huh? Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And I've said it, and I said, well, if you have to ask, you don't know. And that's true. That's exactly the truth. But here's the thing. Christ said right before that, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. That's when Pilate said, what is truth? Wrong question. Who is truth? Who's the truth? That's the question. Jesus Christ is the truth. He said so himself. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Not through me, not using me, not coming to the front of an altar and kneeling down. No, you're coming by Christ, or you're not coming at all. And he is the truth. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Why? Because you've seen Jesus Christ, you've seen the Father. If you've seen Jesus Christ, if you believe Jesus Christ, you know the truth. And that truth, Jesus Christ, will set you free. He'll set you free. Whatever bondage you're under, please understand this. To add or diminish is not disrespecting the Bible or dismissing the preacher, the preached word of his ministers. That's true, but it's not it. Because to add or diminish from the word of God is to try to add or diminish Jesus Christ the righteous. He's the offended party. He's the one that you don't have to worry about sinning against me. Trust me. I can't punish you, and I've got too much of my own problems to worry about. But you understand, if you take away from his word, you're taking away from him. And I'm going to tell you something else. If you take away from Jesus Christ, you've upset the Father. Because there is nothing nearer and dearer to God the Father's heart than the work and the words of his Son, Jesus Christ. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Talk about him at your own risk. Don't take anything away. Don't add anything in. What we've got here, folks, is perfect. Actually, who we got here, folks, is perfect. To add or dismiss from the Word of God is to try and take away the glory of Jesus Christ. That's to deny Jesus Christ. And that's to rebel against God and his Son. Psalms 119 and 89 said this, Forever, O Lord, thy word, Jesus Christ, the word of God, but thy word is settled in heaven. In Matthew 24 and verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. People try to change this word. People try. They'll put words in Jesus Christ's mouth and they'll take words out. And they think nothing of it. You know why they think that way? Because they have no idea who they're dealing with. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by him. Peter said it, thou hast the words of eternal life. His truth, his words are life. And no man can change him. And what are we to do? We are not to add to the word of God. We are not to take away from the word of God. All we are to do is to speak the truth of God. What? And lie not. Don't lie. God even calls it a lie. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be with you again today. Thank you, Lord, for your Son who has given us all things, his life, his love, oh, his strength. And we need it all. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.